Welcome to the Agricultural Economics Podcast. This is your host, Jessica Eyes, and I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Ken Foster, the head of the Department of Agricultural Economics here at Purdue University. How are you, Ken?
I'm doing great, Jessica. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
All ready for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, ramping up. For the first time, I'm hosting Thanksgiving at my house.
Oh, my gosh. You're hosting, huh? For the whole family? Or
for the whole mom, dad, sister.
Oh, my gosh.
Aunt, wow. Cousin.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I hope you're a good cook.
Well, you know, I'm a Renaissance woman.
Well, we've got a lot of things to do. Well, or that your boyfriend's a good cook. Or that you know a good caterer.
Yeah, there you go.
Always the option. Hey, you know, we have a lot to be thankful around the Department of Agricultural Economics all year long, all the time. But, you know, today I think we got something particularly to be thankful for, someone to be thankful for. Why don't you introduce our guest?
Yeah, we do. We have Dr. Freddie Barnard is here with us, and he just won the Hovde Award for service to rural Indiana. And Dr. Barnard, Freddie, is a longtime leader in Purdue Extension Agribusiness Management and Agricultural Finance programs here. Freddie, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks. I appreciate the invitation.
Yeah.
We're just happy to have... We're happy to have another Hovde Award winner in our midst. You know, this is a big deal. This is like the culmination of things for people who are out there serving the community at large in the state of Indiana, and you know, it's a real honor, right? I mean,
so explain this to me a little bit, because I'm not from Indiana and I don't have an agricultural background. What's the Hovde Award?
Well,
represent?
So I guess maybe we should just say who Hovde was. I don't know. I never met the man, but he was president of Purdue University once upon a time. The central administration building at Purdue, where the president's office is located now, is now named after President Hovde. But as I understand it, Freddie, he was just loved by a lot of people. I mean, not just here at Purdue. He was thought of as a tremendous leader who showed great care for people, but all across the state he had a reputation for caring for people and serving other people, and I think that's what the award is meant to epitomize, is somebody who has, you know, gone above and beyond, you know, just doing the things you have to do to get your paycheck, but to do things that really serve others.
Freddie, did you know you were going to get this award? When did you find out?
I found out when they had to take a photo there for article that we're going to wrote about it. Jay called me and let me know, and so I knew ahead of time. So it wasn't a total surprise when they called me at the ceremony.
You know, they got to get you at the ceremony, right? So they got to do some sort of bait. And so
yeah,
in Freddie's case, they must have just told you were getting the award, huh?
Right.
Better be there.
That's right.
So what in particular led to you being awarded this?
Well, I think the award encapsulates, you know, the land grant mission. And so when I first came to Purdue, I was mostly an extension, and 95% extension. And that was in the early 80s. And so from about 82 to 87, during the farm crisis, I was out in the state just about all the time. So we had farmers, agribusiness, bankers, everybody was experiencing financial difficulties. And so that sort of started the link there to the state and a number of people in the state. I've been an extension, the majority of my appointments extension, and so not only do out in the state, but we have a banking school here on campus. And when I first got here, it was just Indiana bankers. Now it's co-sponsored with five states, and a clinic, which we have roughly about 250 or so bankers are coming for a day of update. Sometimes it's legislative, mostly it's commodity prices and kind of things that are going on in the industry. And we have a two-day advanced credit workshop in September or late August, it depends on the year. More senior level bankers come in, and we get into some depth with credit analysis or marketing or whatever. Commodity marketing, that'll be the topic next year. That we've spent 2 days going in. So the work with the banking industry there throughout the last 34 years has probably set the stage. I also work with farm managers, rural appraisers, and things have sort of transitioned from more county meetings when I did originally to the on-campus meetings, and I teach more now than I did originally. So,
so the banking industry is one of those industries that's gone through a lot of transition over the last several decades, Freddie. I mean, most of the people coming to your banking programs, are they from sort of locally owned or community banks? Or do you have the, you know, the bankers from Chase and places like that?
We don't get many from the larger banks. Chase is not into ag a lot. And Wells Fargo is. We'll get a couple of people from there. But mostly community bankers there, but we'll get some of the regionals. And I said originally it was Indiana bankers. But when I started, we had 412 banks in the state. Now we've got about 115.
No kidding.
A lot of consolidation in the banking industry since '85.
That's a huge change.
Yeah. And now it's co-sponsored by Indiana Bankers Association, the department, and the four surrounding states. And so we'll draw from Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, and Illinois.
So these are the bankers that are really embedded in rural communities.
Yep.
And the ones that, you know, are out there probably in many cases supporting a lot of the family businesses and farm businesses in these rural communities.
So how does it help the rural communities themselves to have these educated community banks there? Like what's the link? What are the links?
Well, of course, they provide the funding for most of the businesses that are in the local community. It's not just farm lending, but you got agribusiness, whether it's the suppliers or local businesses or whatever. And so we focus on a lot of credit analysis and marketing and government programs, any of those kinds of things are going to influence credit and the analysis of credit that prepares them to analyze the loans and then make a decision whether it's a good risk or a bad risk and we're going to make it or not.
So it's helping to keep the communities more secure by helping them assess the risk better?
Well, it keeps that flow of capital. Because many small businesses in rural communities, they're too small for many of the nationals or regionals to pay much attention to it, so they go to the commercial community banks to get their funding. Mm-hmm. And so
that is so interesting. I never thought of it that from that perspective.
Yeah.
That there could be communities out there that are so small that these larger banks don't even pay attention to them, so they have to be serviced by these.
Helping those local banks make better decisions so they use that limited capital available to their community as wisely as possible is really important, right? They're much more constrained than, you know, a big city like Chicago or even a town like Lafayette.
That's
with respect to the availability of credit. Pretty neat.
My eyes are opened to this whole new world.
Absolutely.
I think there's a lot of people out there who've never crossed their mind.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, this is how you win the Hubley Award, right? You find some pressing need in rural communities and you go out and you address it and help address it.
Yeah.
And Freddie's also very active in the classroom. He's teaching two large agribusiness classes that, you know, whenever I talk to students and they want to tell me who the best professors in ag econ are, you know, Freddie's name comes
probably
up
because of
often.
This nice Kentucky accent. So I was complimenting Freddie on that before we got started with our podcast.
Well, I'm sure.
What are these undergrad courses or?
Yeah, like I teach the agribusiness management class.
Okay.
Both semesters, and you know. Well, usually the room capacity is 128, and that's usually what we have. So that's what we start with. We usually end up with maybe 124. So,
Freddie, do you memorize all their names?
I can get about 75% of them by the time we get to the end of the semester, but I do not get all of them. Back when it was 60 or 70, I could get all their names, but I don't get them all now.
So what do you think it is that you do in that class that makes it a success?
Well, I think we focus on tools and principles that they're going to use when they get out of here. Okay, I work with a lot of banks on what they're doing and what's going on in terms of production agriculture. And so when we talk about analysis or tools, they're going to use these things. Okay, so I think that's one thing. We do a lot of case studies where that they have to sort through data and make decisions on it. We do a simulation where we divide them up into four-person teams, and they manage an agribusiness. It's a feed and fertilizer retail outlet. And in that, they make six decisions. And they can make decisions on inventory management, credit policies, pricing, which is a big eye-opener for many of them, because they've always been consumers, now they're managers, and the consumer mandate of, well, just cut the price and you'll sell more. Well, not if I'm going to blow my cost, I don't, so I don't make any money doing that. And so it's an eye-opening experience for some of them. And the best thing the simulation helps teach is cash flow. If they don't do a cash flow in this thing, well, then it's going to, they're going to have big problems, because they end up with emergency loans with high interest rates, or they end up with too much cash. And so they had to make those decisions. We do six of them. I give them back a printout. Then they turn around and make another decision by the end of the week. And so it's back and forth.
I have this image of groups of students staying up all night working on this project.
Oh, really?
There have been horror stories of lots of time spent on this.
I was thinking, you know where my mind was going? I was trying to think of who makes up where are the majority of your students from? Are these generally students who are going to go back to a farm?
Or? Well, not necessarily. A smaller percentage are going back to the farm. The majority are students, but I get a lot of students from down the street. A lot of animal science, agronomists, hort, entomology, who want to get the agribusiness designation on their degree to help them with their job placement. They'll take my class to increase their credentials there in terms of understanding the business aspect of the thing. They've got the agronomic aspects down, but understanding cost and pricing.
You know, I wish I'd taken a class like that when I was an undergrad.
Well, you can.
Yeah.
You could be one of the 128.
Because my degree in undergrad was in international relations and political science, and wouldn't it have been nice to have somebody teach me a practical class? Hey, this is how the world actually works, not just in theory.
Yeah, it is an experience, because one of the perceptions they have when they walk in the door is, you know, I'll just cut the price and we'll sell more. Well, when we go over break even and profitability analysis and stuff, they find out very quickly that is a recipe for disaster in this simulation.
Every now and then maybe find yourself in a market where demand is really inelastic and you can actually increase prices. You know, it's okay to chase away a few customers if the rest of them are going to pay a lot more.
So it's an eye-opening experience, and of course they compete for quiz points is what they compete for, and so the one that makes the most money in six quarters, well, they get the 20 out of 20, and the others on down the list.
Oh, wow. Sounds like a poultry contract.
Yeah.
That means nothing to
you. That means nothing to you. Well, that would be for another podcast.
That's right.
Well, Frenny, thank you so much for joining us today. Ken, did you have any last questions?
No,
looks like our
construction is still underway. Still underway up right above my office today. Like we said the last time, the new studio is coming. Things will get better. But, you know, before we sign off, I just want to say thanks to Freddie. Thanks for everything that you have done for rural communities in Indiana, but also for the students and for your colleagues around here in terms of setting an example for the rest of us.
You've been listening to the Agricultural Economics Podcast from Purdue University. You can visit us online.
www.agecon.purdue.edu.
Or you can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.